Get to our seats. Obviously, y'all all know Jost Meister and with PLI, and he's going to be doing a kind of an update presentation on what all is going on with his ministry around the world. Take it away, Jost.
All right. It's such a pleasure to be with you again. And to get an opportunity just to share with you what the Lord's doing through you around the world. And there's a lot going on. So,
did you turn the TV off?
There's a button on there, I'll get
it. Another side?
No, the other side. It's the top button on the other side.
And it made me flip it there. I didn't have any power to it.
Where's the power cable? There.
Oh, okay. Voila. I think we're in business.
Give a second. There you go.
And switch over. Any old time now.
That dual screen mode there.
What's that?
You got turning like dual screen mode or something?
You know?
There you go.
Okay, let's start over again.
Yeah.
All right, great. Why don't we ask the Lord's blessing together. Father, thank you for these saints. Thank you for their love for you and for the gospel that has transformed their lives, even as it's transforming the lives of millions of people around the world. Thank you for the generosity that you show in your grace in drawing us all to Christ and covering our sin and adopting us as your children. I pray, Father, you help me to be clear about what you're doing so that these saints would be encouraged by their part in the gospel around the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so y'all know I'm with TLI, which is Training Leaders International. We use a very nondescript title for our organization because it gets us through visas, through borders, and things like that. If you say convert the world for Jesus, you know, incorporated, then they kind of look at you askance when you're trying to get that visa. So there's my family again, and that was a few years ago. They're all much bigger. All of them are living in the Twin Cities with me, except for that guy right there who's in college. Anyway, lots to share, so I'm not going to dwell right there. But I thought I'd just begin by sharing this kind of introductory video, just remind you about what TLI is about, what we do, and then more specifically, I can share a little bit more afterwards.
Christian maturity, Christian discernment in life, in ministry, is not instantaneous with new birth. You're a baby when you're born. There has to be this practice, training in distinguishing good and evil. Elders lead churches. Sheep need shepherds.
Training. 5 million pastors in the 1040 window alone have no formal theological training. Without the Bible, no one can be reborn in Christ. No one can progress in their sanctification. No one can be sustained unto glory. No one can be satisfied in Jesus without Scripture. Without truth, people will perish, and God has given us His Word. Our marching orders are Matthew 28. Make disciples of all nations. And one of the ways we make disciples is by teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded. And that word teaching is exactly what theological education is about. And what organizations like Training Leaders International do is fulfilling the Great Commission. It's not just make converts, it's make disciples who obey.
I created TLI
Midwesterners, get over to local church, being mentored by people who understand what they're doing, serving underneath the authority of national leaders and pastors, and bringing the Word of God to them, helping them think through how to study it, how to interpret it, how to put it together in a larger framework, who God is, the attributes of God, and then learning how to create expository messages for the congregation so that they can bring the Word of God in a way that the text wants them to bring it to them. The church in Ethiopia are already growing in number. The strength of the pastors in addressing that growth is not really much. The teaching of the Word of God in the church is very shallow. It has no depth. Since the ministers are not really well trained and don't know how to lead the church, there are many charismatic pastors and ministers who are very popular but have no sound teaching, divide the churches. Our pulpits are sold out to the false teachers and to, you know, the guy who is, you know, performing signs and wonders in every Sunday. So they just give their pulpits, whether he is coming from the prosperity gospel, from the false teachers, if he to perform the miracles, they just might get in.
People are coming to faith in droves, but they're quickly being led astray to those who pander to their desire for economic stability, and everything that comes with that. How do you preach the Word if you don't know the Word? How can you teach it if you don't know how to interpret it correctly? We need those men to be doing God's work in God's way.
It was so moving after a week of teaching a TLI curriculum in Ethiopia. The climax, I taught the gospel for 3 hours, and all of a sudden the students didn't know what else to do. They just said, we must sing. And for 30 minutes, they erupted in worship because they had encountered a picture of our God. They had not seen him. That's what they were confessing. This is what we needed. This is what we longed for. And now they were going to be able to take this back to their people. Worship is what was created in the context of our theological training.
I think the thing that motivated me to go overseas and to help train these pastors is because I was so appreciative of my theological training and all the resources that I have in the U.S. and over the years that helped me prepare for my ministry and continue to help me to grow in my ministry. And seeing that overwhelming majority of the pastors didn't have that kind of training that I did caused me to say, I want to help them. I want to do what I can to help equip them so that they can be effective in their ministry.
We exist because we care about the church and its health, because it is the bride of Christ. It's why Christ came. He came to establish his church, and he appointed pastors and leaders to lead that church. And so we want to come alongside pastors and churches all around the world and help equip them to lead their congregations well.
We're going into places where these are dear brothers trying to pastor their churches who've latched on to all sorts of things that we would consider false teaching, heresy, but they're just untrained. And we're bringing sound, gospel-centered, theological training to these brothers who are pastoring churches in the jungle, in the city, in urban areas, in red light districts, in Muslim-dominated areas, Hindu-dominated areas, where there's very little persecution and lots of persecution. But the one thing they all have in common is little to no access to formal or even informal theological training.
What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust faithful men who will be able to teach. She's a teacher of teachers. So that their people are equipped to believe the truth and be filled with the fruit of righteousness, with the glory and praise of God.
Right. Well, so that gives you a little picture. Oh, there it goes again. Stop it. There. All right. So just by way of sort of orienting, this verse, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, pops up in Habakkuk, pops up also in Isaiah. But it's also a theme throughout the entire Bible where God is passionate for his glory, right? He's not going to be satisfied until the entire earth, right, is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And it's really fun just to trace that theme out from Genesis through Revelation and see God relentlessly pursuing his goal. So that's kind of sets the stage for us. They did talk a little bit in that video about the need for biblical theological training. I just want to share, just by way of reminder, a few things that will kind of help us frame the problem and the issue, and then we'll share a little bit about what the Lord is doing through you, through TLI. So, the center of Christianity is moving to the global south. The global south would be Asia, Africa, and Latin America. 100 years ago, around 1900, 90% of all Christians lived in Europe and in North America. 90%. So that means the rest of the world shares 10%. So very thinly scattered Christianity over the rest of the world. But in the last 100 years, it's really changed so that now 75% of all Christians live in Asia, Africa, and Latin America. So a massive movement of the Holy Spirit in those regions. It's not so much people talk about Christianity dying in the West, and all that. It's not so much that that's happening, and that's a more complicated discussion when you are looking at that and saying, well, where are they getting their data, and how are they defining Christianity, etc., etc. But in the end, the main thing, the most important thing is that 100 years from now, those who are leading the church are going to be from Asia, Africa, and Latin America. That's just how things are going right now. I'm not a prophet. I'm just saying if things continue to go the way they are, and considering the population density out there, we sure hope so, right? We sure hope that those billions of Indians, Chinese, Africans, etc., are continue to come to faith in Christ. So this presents us with a problem. So evangelism, praise God. More Muslims are coming to Christ now than ever before. I think in the last, I think in the last 20 or 30 years, more Muslims have come to Christ than the previous, from the time of Muhammad, which is around what, 600, to today. So it's crazy what's going on. But evangelism is outpacing discipleship, and there's a very thin number of pastors with any biblical theological training to shepherd God's people. So that makes them vulnerable, right? It would be like having a nursery filled with hundreds of babies and you've only got one nurse, you know, to care for all of them, right? She's running around from one kid to another, diapering this one and feeding that one and cuddling this one, and she's only got two arms, and somebody's going to get neglected. So to give you a little proportion, here's Mississippi. The ratio of trained pastors to to people in the United States is 1 to 150, somewhere around there. 1 to 150. In my church in Spokane, when I was pastoring, we had a church about 250. We had four guys with biblical theological training. So our ratio was like 1 to 60. We had it really good, right? In Asia, Africa, Latin America, it's 1 to 450,000. So imagine if Mississippi had the same kind of proportion that like Liberia or Benin or Pakistan has. It would look like this. A population of, in 2017, almost 3 million here in Mississippi. 450,000, that gives you 6.6 pastors with any biblical theological training to shepherd the entire state. So now, the question is, well, where are you going to put them? How many does Jackson get? Does Jackson get any? Maybe one? You know? Where are you going to put them? And how are you going to divvy them up, right? Now, the problem is a little bit more complex than that, because it's not that you have 6.6 guys and you go, okay, well, let's get our heads together and you go north, I'll go south, he's going to go east, and he's going to go west, right? And let's stay in touch. Problem is that you've got thousands of other guys who are well-meaning, but they just have never been taught. They just have never been taught. Right now, in Liberia, we have this huge group of guys that we're training. And what they need right now are, believe it or not, and this sounds crazy, because English is the national language in Liberia. And what they need are Bibles. Isn't that weird? What, like, so right now, I think next week, we're sending a team over, and they're bringing 85 Bibles with them for these students. So that's where things are at. I mean, things are that bad that people are just having an understanding of what the story of the Bible is. It's that bad. That's where we're, those are the kind of folks that we're dealing with and trying to help. So we're trying to change that ratio. Imagine, just for instance, if Alabama had a Western ratio of 1 to 150, but Mississippi had an African or an Asian ratio of 1 to 450,000. Well, a bunch of guys from Alabama could just come over, right, and start training pastors, teach them how to interpret the Word of God, show them what expository preaching is like, right, and begin to equip them. Our problem is, of course, that it's not that close geographically. So that's why we're sending people over to Asia, Africa, and Latin America to bring training to them. TLI is kind of a niche ministry. We were very focused. It's like Five Guys, burgers, and fries, right? All they do are burgers. Actually, they do milkshakes now, too. But I think that's an example of mission drift. You know? Although I love milkshakes. But, all they do is burgers. And that's why I like going to Five Guys, because I know it's always going to be a good burger, because that's what they do, right? And what we do is we train pastors and expositors. We train shepherds for God's people. So this is from Ezekiel 34. God is chastising the shepherds of Israel because they've neglected the sheep. And he's saying, so they, God's people, were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. That's kind of what's going on. The prosperity gospel is everywhere. And it's a weed that grows so quickly. You know, some heresies you really have to work to get entrenched. But the prosperity gospel is one that when you're speaking to people who are in desperate poverty and you tell them God wants them to be healthy and rich, right? And here it is in the Bible, right? That kind of heresy just spreads like weeds. So TLI focuses on pastoral training because we reason that if we have good shepherds, they're going to care for God's people They're going to teach them the Word of God, and they're going to inoculate them against all this destructive teaching that is out there. All right, so what's our bit? And when I say our bit, I mean what's your bit, right? Because we're partnering together in the gospel. So this is what God is doing through Emmanuel Presbyterian Church around the world in partnership with what we're doing at TLI. So I just want to encourage you, because there's some really exciting stuff going on. My particular focus with TLI is I'm the guy that's in charge of planting pastoral training schools and nurturing them, staffing them, helping them think about vision and impact. So that's my job. Here is kind of where we're working, but this is outdated. Even though I made this slide maybe 3 months ago or something like that, things are happening so fast. So the yellow dots, actually, we should start with red. Red dots are pastoral training schools that we currently are supporting. We have one in India, in the birthplace of Hinduism, way up in the north. The Christians in India are down south, mainly. Up north, right near the Taj Mahal, it's about a four-hour drive from the Taj Mahal, is the birthplace of Hinduism, and it's violent. They're violently opposed to Christianity. And we've got a church-based seminary that we're partnering with there in northern India. We've also got one down here in Sao Paulo, and they have become a mother. So they are mothering this one, which these yellow dots are schools that we're starting in 2019 and 2020. This school is helping this school in northern Brazil get started. And so we're kind of, TLI is sort of functioning like the midwife, right? They're having a baby, praise the Lord. And we're just helping them to get off the ground and get started. So we'll send teachers there. We help them talk about how they're going to build their program and how they're going to shape their students and all that. The blue dots are places that are asking us to come and partner with them. But this is the place that is actually outdated. I'm just getting inundated, and I'll share a little bit about some of the opportunities that we're looking into in 2019 with schools that are reformed in their doctrine of salvation, right? They embrace the sovereignty of God. They want biblical, robust teaching, right? And so they're coming to us and saying, hey, can you please help us? So I wanted to spend a little bit of time just sharing some stories from what's happened in the last year since I've seen you guys last time and share with you a little bit about what's going on. So here's something from Serbia. So one of the schools that we work with is here in Novi Sad. There's Belgrade. Novi Sad's up here. Up towards the north, and when I went there, this was in February or March, the director there, his name is Dwayne Baldwin, he was just sharing with me about the student body and said, yeah, we had these gypsies that joined the student body, Roma guys. So Roma is who they are, how they self-identify. Gypsy would be a more of a pejorative term used. And he says, yeah, there's these Roma guys, and they joined the school for 3 days, and then they dropped out. Why did they drop out? Well, they just knew that they didn't have the educational level to be able to do the work that was required of them, the reading and the writing and all of that was there. And I was thinking, oh, wow, you know, this is a shame. There's got to be a way that we can help these guys. So I said, hey, take me up there. Let me meet those guys. TLI, I work on the formal side. That's degrees, like, you know, bachelor or master's degree. That's what I do. But we have a whole bunch of guys. In fact, the majority of what TLI does is work on a non-formal level. surely we can connect with these guys and help them with training. So we're driving up. It's in the winter time, and it's like an hour and a half drive up north. And there's these horses with carts, and there's cars. It's kind of a weird sort of a thing. And the guy said, this pastor, his name is Pastor Sasha, has this reputation in the city that everybody knows him, everybody loves him, because the church is so aggressively serving the city that they're in. And so we're talking like that, and we got lost. We didn't know, we couldn't find where we were going. And he goes, no problem, watch this. And he pulled over. There's this guy just walking along. And he said, do you know Pastor Sasha? And he was talking in Serbian. You know where he lives? And he goes, oh, yeah, of course. He's just right up there, right? He's just some random guy on the street. So we pull into the church. And this is crazy. We pull into the church and we see this sign right here. So, which is, right, the 500-year anniversary of the Reformation with the solas down here.
Yeah.
Right? The solas, and they don't even... Most of Serbia just doesn't even know what the Reformation is, right? Serbian Orthodoxy is the church. And so here we are. This is Pastor Sasha, Pastor Mirko, and Uncle Dragan, which means beloved. So Uncle Beloved here. And these three guys are working amongst the Roma people and needing training, right? Now, the coolest thing is that they have such a good reputation with their city. And you have to understand, the Roma people are living in massive poverty, right? Massive poverty. And they live in a region of massive poverty. The coolest thing is that for the church's 500-year anniversary of the Reformation celebration, the city paid for their party. Not all of it, but the city donated like 1,500 euros to pay. Now, what would it take for Clinton, Mississippi to say, hey, we are so blessed by you guys. We just want to show you gratitude by funding your Reformation party. I mean, if I think about that in Minneapolis, I can't even imagine how that would ever happen. But these guys, they're hungry for the word. So what are we doing? We're sending another missionary to Serbia. He's an Old Testament guy going to Southeastern right now. And he's going to try to move to be right there with them. And then, Lord willing, we'll be able to send them some non-formal training. Here's a... another guy, a story from Nepal. Here we are. This is, I call this Faces of Death, you know, part one, because I'm a big guy, if you haven't noticed. And the only way to get around, or at least the only way he got around in Nepal, is on the back of a motorcycle. So here I am. This is after 3 days. If it was 2 days earlier, you would have seen the sweat and fear, you know, on my face, because he's zipping around. But this guy actually was trained in Scotland. He went to Edinburgh for his master's degree, and so here we are driving around on the back of his motorcycle in Nepal, and he is. We're just talking about Luther and Luther's relationship with Zwingli. And Luther's relationship with Melanchthon and how it got a little bit strained. And he's just so articulate, so drilled down. And he and his friend are starting a seminary there in Bhaktapur, which is right outside of Kathmandu, training men and women. It's a Bible college. Training men and women to understand the Word of God. He took over a Hindu K-12 school and made it into a Christian school and is drawing people in. He's just filled with energy and passion for the glory of God. His name is Suraj, and he's just a neat brother. I've mentioned already Liberia, and here are, this is one of the groups of men that we've been training in the non-formal curriculum. Here are a couple guys, CREC guys, and that's a TLI guy, and of course there I am. So we're beginning, Lord willing, in August, a master's degree program, an MDiv program, that is there in Liberia. You'll notice, I think if we go back, you can see that there's four nations that are clustered around together, Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Cote d'Ivoire. And they are drawing students from all three of those nations. So it's exciting. You know, you might have heard that Ebola had been ravaging the country. And before Ebola came, it was a civil war. And so there was this diaspora. A lot of these Liberians were just fleeing for their lives, right? Moving into other countries. And the Lord used those tragedies to awaken the church. There was a lot of nominalism in that country. And so after those things settled, the church began to explode. And people are coming to Christ all over the place, but they don't really know what to do. They don't have any pastors. So the brother that is leading the charge here, his name is Diona. He's worked with the Jimmy Carter Center for a long time as a consultant. He's got a couple master's degrees. He's a super competent guy. He was just here in the States and addressed the UN, not the whole General Assembly, but a portion of it in his area of expertise. So they've got right now 85 guys that are going through the non-formal training. And so we're setting up this school and we're trying to negotiate about how many students can you handle. And he said, really, we can't have less than 30 in a class. And now for us, I mean, you have to realize sometimes we'll travel to teach four people, you know. Or 12 people would be a more usual number that we're aiming at, 10 to 12. And he wants to do 30. And he said, well, we have to do 30 because we need to do 15 from Liberia and at least 5 from each of the other countries around us. And we're just like, well, that's impossible. We can't do 30. You don't even have a quality classroom when you have 30, right? You can't connect with them. You can't do good grading. You can't, et cetera, et cetera. But it's such an interesting problem to have because usually it's we're training a much smaller amount. Now, one story that I do want to highlight from this is that you could see in the background their building. It's made of woven grass mats. And those mats, that kind of a building, has a life of about 5 years or something, and then it's got to be torn down, and then they've got to rebuild it again. But the property that they were on, that they've purchased, used to belong to a pagan cult. It was a satanic, there was blood sacrifices going on. There was a sacred grove there with these enormous trees, you know, just huge, towering trees that had been there forever, and they would go in there all covered with ash. Villagers would go in and then they would worship, and they needed land because they had started a church. And so these people approached them and said, we'd like you to buy our land. We'd like you to buy our land, but the problem is that whenever somebody comes in, if they try to cut down the trees, you know, they're going to die. The spirits are going to kill them. But we figure that your God, you know, you say he's mighty. He'll protect you. So why don't you buy the land, and then you could build your church. And so they're like, well, okay, yeah, you're right. Our God will protect us. And of course they went in, and the picture I don't have is of these massive stumps where the sacred grove was and is now gone. And in its place, they're building a permanent building, not with woven mats, but with construction that's going to be lasting. But this whole idea of the conflict of Christ with idols is something that comes up a lot. In fact, Suraj, this guy here, we were walking at night. It was the rainy season, and he lives in a rural area, so it's muddy, muddy roads. You can't even walk on them because your foot just kind of gets sucked in. By the way, when do I need to end at 10?
Maybe 5:10 after.
Okay, so I'm going to come in for a landing. I'll tell the story very quickly. So we're going to go get milk, and we're walking on walls, right? Because that's the only way to get where you're going. And of course, I'm super uncoordinated, so I came back with legs filled with mud. But we're walking by, and he goes, we walk by this temple, and there's a vacant lot, and he says, ask me about that when we get back to the house. That lot. I said, okay, sure, I'll ask you. So we go, we get our milk, we come back, stuff happens. But the main thing is, he's like, yeah, that plot of ground, anytime somebody plants on that, they die. And what's with that? You know, what do you mean by that? And remember, this guy went and got his training in Edinburgh, so he's not crazy. He's sharp, he's a sober guy, he's well taught. He goes, yeah. That it happens because the land belongs to the god of the temple that is contiguous right to the land. And he says, but we belong to the Lord. So we should buy that and build a church on it. And that's the kind of guys I get to work with. I'm just privileged because they are advancing very boldly the cause of Christ. I'm going to buzz by Haiti. This is Pastor Gary. You can see he flew up to Minneapolis because I'd hit my 20% travel cap. I couldn't travel anymore. And so we were talking about getting a school going for him in Haiti. We've been working with him already for 3 years with non-formal training. So all that chicken scratching you see on the wall is us just kind of planning and thinking it through. While I was in Brazil, a guy from Angola contacted us and was talking about, he's a Presbyterian guy, and he's way down here, right near Namibia. And he's got like one of the only Presbyterian churches south of the capital. Started a couple years ago, already 300 people attending, and desperate need for training. We'll be going to do a site assessment there in April, talking to him about the possibility of working with him. And there we are. The only time we could get together was his flight was coming into the Sao Paulo airport, my flight was leaving, and we just managed to sync our schedules up so that we could talk. So that's Pastor Tony from Angola. The last thing I want to share with you about is Pakistan. This is one that I think I'm most excited about right now. And this is actually a CREC, that's our denomination, contact. A guy came and he said, hey, I'm representing Sutlej Reformed Church. There's 17 of them in Pakistan. And I get a lot of the... let me back up and say, Virgil Hurt, who is our presiding minister, said, hey, Yost, you know people, is this guy legit? I don't know what to do with this. So we got to know him, checked him out, spoke to people who knew him, Skyped with him, checked out his website, and I had this great conversation with him. He's a very articulate guy. And I'm like, well, how did you get a Reformed church in the middle of Pakistan? And apparently, a lot of work has been done there. But here he is, this is at a conference. There's the conference attendees. And what I'm excited about is that in March, myself and I need two other guys to accompany me are going to go meet these guys and talk to them about a relationship between their churches and the CRC. A lot of people, when I say, hey, do you want to come to Pakistan with me, are sort of freaked out because of the safety questions, the safety issues. But it really depends on where you're going in Pakistan, etc. And the opportunities are tremendous. So, Jay, come to Pakistan.
Everybody turns and looks at me.
Yeah. All right. I did speak about publishing things that we were doing last year, so just an update. We got our first book translated in Serbian, Ken Sandy's book, Peacemaker. There's the translation in hardback. There's the publisher and the translator and the president of the school there. And Emmanuel Church in Seattle had sponsored that. So prayer items, always please pray for our preaching, teaching. I need a New Testament guy. The team has grown from one guy to 4.5 guys. So I've got two Old Testament guys, a church history guy, a Bible guy, a systematics guy, but I don't have a New Testament guy, and I need a New Testament guy. So pray that the Lord will send me a guy. A guy with a PhD and who's got extensive pastoral experience. God can raise that up, right? Who's willing to raise his own support and move to Minneapolis, which like really shrinks the number of people. But he's out there and I need him. So please pray that the Lord will send him. I'm really trying hard to mobilize CRC churches to join the work that we're doing. And last year, sent one guy to India to teach systematic theology, another guy to India to teach church history, another guy to Brazil to teach the Gospels. Yuri Brito, you probably know Yuri, went to Brazil for us, and a few other guys, and a team of guys to Liberia. So we're doing that. I'd love to see more. I'd love to bring elders and even just competent laymen to come alongside us as we're teaching on the non-formal side. I do travel a lot. Please pray for my family. And God's just doing great stuff. He's really moving. I'm really excited that the requests are coming in. They really want sound doctrine. They see the damage of bad doctrine and they want sound doctrine. And that's encouraging. And my problem is that we just can't fill the need. There's way more requests than we have the ability to fill the need. And so I want to mobilize. That's why I'm here. I'm here not just to meet with you guys, but to try to move those guys at RTS to consider biblical theological training. In fact, one of them is a Brazilian guy who is... wants to go back, and that's what we're here to do, is to get those guys back to their home country. Any questions for me? I think I've got time for like one question. And then if you want to catch me after, you can do that.
In Liberia, those 85 Bibles needed. Is that a hard thing for y'all to do?
No, we've got... we've got study Bibles. We've got cases and cases and cases of them. So what the problem is in that situation is that I'm trying to... So they're running a college. They're running a college. So before... We're doing a Master of Divinity program for them. But they've got a bachelor's program already. And it's just a college from scratch. But imagine running a college. They've got four administrative staff, which is pretty good, you know. But no computer, no laptop. In fact, they share a borrowed laptop from the Jimmy Carter Center. But they had to give it back because his consulting work is done. So they have no laptop. They have no computer. So we got a church sponsored the purchase of four laptops for them. And so I'm trying to get the laptops over. But we can only get so much luggage. We've got books that have been donated to them. We just can't get enough people to get over there.
So you can't just ship it there. It has to be carried by.
The cost is so, like, the laptops, forget about it. Because if you don't carry them on, they're going to hit you with 100% sales tax, right? So you gotta carry them on and then just hand them over. If you bring them in the box, they're absolutely gonna get you. They're gonna charge you. It's really expensive. And then we've got boxes and boxes of books the pastor donated his library that we need to get over there, right, for their library. But we have to do it trickle. We trickle it over as our teams go over. We ask each guy to bring a box, and it's just real slow. And we could pay for a pallet, but it's super expensive. Yeah.
So it's more expensive to ship it than to actually a person carry it.
Well, the people are going over anyway. It's more like that. So, I mean, if I send a guy over there just to carry books, no, it would be egregiously expensive.
Yeah.
But he's going over anyway, so we say, hey, will you please bring a couple boxes? So that's kind of what's going on. But the Lord's using you. Thank you for your prayers. 2019, really, I'm just really excited about what God's doing. And I think we're tightening up the ship. We're trying to deliver a higher quality of education. We're working hard at that. God's added to our team. So I'm really hopeful that 2019 will just add to what the Lord's done in 2018. So thank you so much for your partnership. It's a delight to be here. And I think I'm way over, so I'm going to stop.
Right.
I'm done. So thank you. Can we pray? Yeah. Father, thank you for these saints and the time that we got to spend together. Just talking about what you're doing and how you love to just allow us to help you, even though you don't need our help. You can do it all on your own without us. It delights you to include us, and we're grateful because we get so much joy at seeing you work, and so much joy and wonder that you would even condescend to use us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for these saints and their faithful partnership. We pray that you'd bless them. Pray, Lord, that you would raise up men from the Series C to come with me to Pakistan so we could explore that opportunity and all those other needs that we have. We pray that you would fulfill them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks.